Welcome to Spiritually Naked, where physical and non-physical worlds collide, offering a refreshing concoction of optimism and realism. It's time to strip down the barriers of limiting beliefs, to master the art of manifestation and synchronized living. Everything you need to live an inspired, awakened life is within your grasp. Start creating the life you desire today with Spiritually Naked as your guide to simplifying complicated issues for real life change. Now here are your hosts, Steve and Stephanie Banks.
Hello everyone, thank you for joining us here tonight on Spiritually Naked. I'm your host, Stephen Banks, and I'm here with my partner and co-host, Stephanie Banks, who in the second portion of our program will channel for us a collective consciousness named Solomon. But first, I'd like to introduce to you our guest that we have with us tonight, Mary Shores. And Mary Shores is a business owner, thought leader, communication specialist, and is the revolutionary founder of the groundbreaking Conscious Communication System, which produces positive results through positive action. Mary is releasing her new book, published by Hay House, Conscious Communication, on August 22nd. Thanks for joining us, Mary. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's so nice to meet both of you, and it's my absolute pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on here. I'm really excited to hear about your program, Conscious Communications. Is your book based on the program that you designed?
Yes. So years ago, I had developed a customer service system that was all based on how we use our words and the effect that it has on other people. And between that and my basic obsession with personal and spiritual development, I was able to really bridge it over to more personal development exercises in a way that helps people to connect to their, like, whatever their full potential is by way of changing their mind, their choices, and their life. Like, basically saying, when you understand and get in control of how you use your mind, that will begin to change your choices, and then you see your life changing or moving into a new direction.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. But to be more specific, when you say being in control of your mind, are you talking about, like, being aware of your thoughts and your emotions and these kinds of things?
That's a great question. So I used to always hear this terminology, like getting in alignment or the power of now. And I didn't understand those words. It would be really confusing for me. It was almost as if someone was speaking another language. And so it was really kind of like my quest to understand these things. And what I realized was, like, the power of alignment is when you get your thoughts, your feelings, your words, and your actions, like, all pointing in the same direction as, like, your lifestyle or your goals that you want to have in life. And it's almost like if the things that you want to accomplish are this big mountain, then always checking in to see, is this, like, say, for example, accepting this particular job project, is that going to get me closer to my mountain or farther away? And really, that's my understanding of alignment. And the thing is, though, it's so difficult, I think, for me to control my thoughts. And so I really focus on how we use our words and our choices, because I feel like once we get sort of those in alignment, the thoughts naturally begin to pivot over time, not overnight.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree with that. And I've always been a huge proponent of positive communication and trying to reach agreements with people and come to a mutual understanding. And you can say the exact same thing, use the same words in one way, and then use just slightly, just, it doesn't take much, just like a slight change in the words that you use. And it's amazing how that can transform things and actually create cohesion in a conversation or in a company or in a relationship or anything like that. And it's amazing how many people really don't communicate very well, don't have any idea how to do that.
I love everything that you just said. And I have something that I talk about in the book, which is, like, everything you do is either cleansing you or clogging you. And so, like, talking about relationships is a perfect example of that, because, like, everything you say, every action you take, every word that comes out of your mouth with your partner or your children or your friends or your coworker is either going to cleanse, meaning it's either going to create greater connection, or it's going to clog, meaning it's going to drive disconnection in that relationship. So I love what you just said.
Absolutely. And another really important factor of what you're just mentioning is also, it's not just the external relationships, but our internal relationship with ourselves. I mean, that principle would absolutely apply to that as well.
Right, because that's the most important relationship, because the more cleansed you can be internally with your thoughts and your words and, you know, your gratitude and all of those things, the more you're going to project out
exactly
from a place of like empowerment, instead of, because if you're coming from a place of disempowerment, then you're honestly going to interact with people in a disempowering way.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You will express what we are, right? We express what we are.
Well, and if you're continually, you know, I've met people and I continue to meet people that live in that state of victimhood where it's, you know, they may not realize that that's where they're coming from, but when you're constantly putting the blame on somebody else or an external circumstance, how can you possibly be empowered? And if you're feeling that way, how can you possibly express yourself in any other way? So for when you obviously are teaching this, you're writing about it, you're passionate about it. For people that are listening, what would, you know, do you have some tips for people? Like like those sort of first initial things that you start paying attention to that help you create a more conscious way of communication?
Well, in the book, we start by talking about focus. Because one of the things that I noticed is whenever I would ask somebody what they want, they would start going through the list of things that they don't want. And in my communications training, it was all about always tell people what you can do instead of what you can't do. Because it's so frustrating. Like if you call up a company and you say, like if you call up your cable company or your cell phone company and you ask a question that's relatively reasonable, but they just come back with you and tell you all the things they can't do for you, it like really makes you feel frustrated on the inside. Mm-hmm. But same thing with our lives. So like if I ask my friend or a client, what do they want? And they start telling me all the things they don't want. Then I know that there's a frustration there. Like they feel frustrated because these are the things that this list of things they're telling me that they don't want is actually what's showing up for them. And so we need to like clean up their mindset mojo a little bit and get them to focus on the things that they want. And a lot of times people can't even tell me what that is. So we'll start by taking that list of don't wants and just saying, what's the opposite of this?
Yeah,
so like my, on my list, it was, I don't want to argue with my teenage boys every night over homework.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah. So I have to say, like, what's the opposite of that? Like, the opposite is I need them to be internally motivated to want to do their homework or, you know, peaceful. So I just really focused on having peaceful, getting homework done and stuff like that instead of what I didn't want. And of course, that's a very simple example. And then next, I think it's really important, and I think this is really important, especially for women, to understand how valuable and powerful we are. Mm. So we have this exercise in the book that is called Your 100 Things List. And so in that, I challenge everyone to write a list of 100 things that they like about themselves. And it's actually so much harder than it sounds. It took me about a month to complete my entire list. But because when you go through it, you're going to first start listing off a lot of superficial things to be able to get to that deeper layer of like what truly are your gifts that you appreciate.
Wow, I really like that idea.
What was your number one?
Well, number one, I don't remember. It was probably something like, I like my long hair, or I like that I'm tall. It, like I said, they were very superficial. But what I love to talk about is what my number 99 and my number 100 were.
Oh, yeah.
Because those were the ones that I had to really make my brain sweat to come up with them. And so number 99 was that I am radiant. And number 100 was that I am a powerful magnetic creator. Mm. And what's interesting about those is that when I wrote down the I am radiant, within that day and the several like a time period after that, so many people started coming up to me and saying, you're so radiant. And like, you know, people get compliments, but that was such a specific word. And never before in my life had anyone said to me that I was radiant. And so there was something synchronistic about me writing it down on that piece of paper and recognizing it within myself that allowed other people to recognize it in me and actually to the point where they commented on it.
That's amazing. And that's getting into alignment. So I know for myself, even 5 years ago, I had no idea really what that meant, but everything you just said lines up to me to explain what alignment is. And it's about understanding that just by you writing down those words on a piece of paper, how that shifted you into a different state of consciousness, really, where you're communicating with your higher self, and your higher self is then communicating with the energetic force around you that brings forth, and like in real life terms, the idea of what you put on paper. All of a sudden people are saying you're radiant. Like, how cool is that? And that's what I love about becoming more conscious and becoming more awakened to everything that's going on around you. And, you know, now it's just a living example of it. I think that's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So the book just has exercise or coaching exercise after coaching exercise to help you get into that place. So we're going to talk about things like the power of your story and whether you're really connecting with the disempowering stories in your life from your past, or you're able to write your stories in a way that empower you. Because even when you've overcome obstacles, and I have overcome like so many obstacles in my life, unbelievable things, from losing a child to divorce to having a son with autism, it's like the stories you tell yourself about yourself really become your identity. And so we can consciously choose these stories that we're stepping into. One time I was on a Kundalini retreat in Hawaii. It was actually over this past Christmas, and I had this really powerful dream. And in the dream, I was at a retreat, which I often do, and we were doing the icebreakers. You know, at the beginning of a workshop or a retreat, you kind of go around and you introduce yourself to people. So it was during that part, and we were partnered up. So the job was like you had to introduce yourself to your partner. But in my dream, it was like you get to introduce yourself however you want. Like basically you're going to make it up. And then so you could make up like that you were from Egypt, or you were a best-selling author, or, you know, whatever it is that you wanted your reality to be, that's how you were supposed to introduce yourself. And when I woke up from the dream, I had this like powerful realization that that's actually truer to reality than what we understand. That basically we can just make it up.
Yeah, I agree with you fully. And really, you know, we should be doing this every day.
We are. You know? But that's the thing, is that we are. We just,
right. Not, exactly. We're not looking, we're not, what are you creating?
We're not looking at it that way.
Yeah, that's right. But you're right. The actual reality, in fact, is that what we place our attention on, well, what we feel about ourselves is actually what's going to be presented and experienced.
Well, and if you go to your example where you wrote down, I am radiant, as your number 99 or 100 or whatever it was, you created the outcome there. The outcome is that now other people are recognizing your radiance. Had you written down something else, that would be what you're bringing forth.
Yeah.
Right. And my number 100 was, I am a magnetic, powerful creator. And what was the thing that I then created shortly after this was writing a book, which was my dream. And I was able to go from like a place of not identifying as a writer to writing a book and getting it published with my dream publisher, which is Hay House. So like, I am just a living example of how I was able to create that reality that I wanted.
Mm-hmm. You should tell us about that, because that's a reality of mine. So I want to be as close to you as possible right
It's
now.
Interesting, because we were paralleling that idea when Steph started to write A Soulful Awakening, and we were the same way. We were like, oh, we really want to get, how do we get Hay House to pick us up? So perhaps you could present that idea to us and let us know how that can happen.
How did that work for you?
I love, it's one of my favorite things to talk about, because, you know, 2 years ago, exactly, you know, that was me. I'm an aspiring writer. I have these things that I really want to get out into the world that I feel passionate about. And I love it that you said, how can I, instead of like saying, oh, I can't get published by Hay House. You're like, how can I get aligned with Hay House? And then look what you manifested was like a person who can tell you exactly how to do that, because I can tell you what I did and it worked. So Hay House has these wonderful, wonderful writing workshops. And I attended one in March of 2015. And anybody who attends the writer's workshop gets to turn in a book proposal to them. You have about 7 months to write it. And then they choose one of the proposals from the attendees to get a full-blown book contract. And then there's also a second prize and a third prize, in which they, the second prize and the third prize winners get a book package with a self-publishing company that Hay House actually owns. But the, you know, the magic isn't even necessarily that I won the contest, but that I walked away from that workshop knowing exactly how I was going to publish my book. And so honestly, you know how they say like to be like not to be attached to the outcome? And I can tell you that was so true for me, because I was so like, I just knew I was going to make my book, and it didn't necessarily matter to me anymore whether Hay House published it, because I knew exactly how to do it. And so at this workshop, they really teach you like the book business. I had been to other writers workshops where it was like very focused on writing prompts and learning how to write, which was perfect for me at the time. But by the time I stepped foot into the Hay House workshop, I was really ready to understand how the book business works. So I learned like simple strategies, like the first thing you have to do is create an outline. And I learned like how important it is that you circulate and you build a following and a platform. And I understood the formatting, which is very, very important, but the formatting of the actual proposal itself, which is actually about a 60 to a 70 page document. Oh, so, wow. You know, it's an investment. And, but think about it from like the publishing company's point of view. If you can complete a proposal, then they can probably rely on you to complete a book. The next writer's workshop is October 21st and 22nd in Orlando, Florida. And I'll actually be speaking at that workshop. So I'll be sharing a stage with Mike Dooley, who is one of my very favorite authors. Mm-hmm. And I write a lot about him in my actual book, because he wrote the best-selling book, Infinite Possibilities. And he's actually written an endorsement for my book. There's another writer's workshop. If you can't make the one in Orlando, there's one in May in Toronto. And I may be speaking at that one as well.
Well, that's awesome. That's so, it's, you know, congratulations on that. And, you know, it's that, that again is an indication of you being in alignment with where you want to go. And I loved what you said about not being attached to the outcome. And that's something that Solomon talks about a lot. You know, it's one thing to, there's a fine line between setting intentions and sort of having this broad plan of what you would like to see come into your life and how that would feel. And then crossing that line and getting too deep into it, where that's, you're not opening up greater potentials and possibilities. And I'm pretty certain that that's something that, you know, that you write about and that you talk about, and the idea of probabilities and potentials. And, you know, I'm just curious what your take is on that.
Yeah, it's, that's one of my topics that I get the most excited about, because I feel like we are full of these unlimited potentials, and it's really which potential we connect to. So like, for example, I have the potential of being a best-selling author. I have the potential of being a millionaire or a billionaire. But I also have the potential of being the greatest mother that I can be. I have the potential of becoming an alcoholic. I have the potential of failing, right? But we always think of the word potential, and we sort of attach positive outcomes to the word potential. But really, all potentials exist. And so it's the choices that you make through life. One of my favorite quotes is from Chaz Palminteri, which goes, "The choices you make will shape your life forever." So it's really the choices that you make that connect you to a certain potential, because all potentials exist in time and space. And really everything's already happened or is happening, you know, at the same time as the past, present, and future. So it's just the choices that you make that switch you into that reality that contains that particular potential that you want. So the moment to moment choices you make, and I just mean the very small choices, are just as impactful as the bigger ones. So like, I have a short story I tell in the book about, like, one day I just chose to have coffee with my friend. And I talk about everything that happened as a result of, like, that seemingly small choice to have coffee. But, like, okay, so having coffee with him that day switched me to a slightly different reality or slightly different outcome in life than if I hadn't had coffee with him that day. And, like, maybe not in a big way, right? But, like, over a 5-year period of time, it's like a flow chart. So the choices you make are like taking you through a flow chart, and just like a flow chart that you would see on paper, you know, the boxes at the end can be very far away from each other.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, really, when we, while we live our lives, this is what I'm learning now through my own experience and everything I've learned through the last 5 years of, you know, applying Solomon and Stephanie's lessons, regarding our perspectives of life, is that if we just live in the moment in terms of, like you were saying, you don't get too focused in, like, it's really important to have direction. Like, you have an idea of where you want to go, what you want. You want to know what you want, right? But then you let it go. And like you say, conversation with a friend, or, you know, these things just materialize. They just manifest. But if you're open to everything, and an opportunity comes and you take that, it's always going to lead you in the direction towards your bigger goal.
And the thing you were talking about like being in the now, or I don't remember exactly how you worded it, but that kind of like, that was another one of those esoteric concepts that was confusing for me, because as an entrepreneur, I'm always very focused on the future. I'm always very focused on what I want to create, you know? So like I write, you know, a lot of times when people write business plans, they could be 5 years long. And one of the things that was very different about me is I was always writing these one page action plans, and that was like, I didn't understand 5-10 years ago, but that was like so powerful because it kept me more in the now. And what I understand, like kind of like you, it's been sort of like a 5+ year journey for me. But what I understand now is like that is so steeped in with free will choice, because all we really have is this moment and the choice that we're making right now in this moment.
And that's the principal point. All we really have, the only time you're affecting your life really is right now. So it doesn't matter. Like, I mean, I have as many desires, and I'm thinking about the future all the time. I used to always live in the future and like work really hard towards the idea of something and missing the opportunity of living right now. I was always missing that opportunity. And now that I am present, I really am being presented with everything I need to just flow in the direction of what I was struggling for so much before. And this is an amazing conversation, and we can keep going on and on for sure. But Mary,
are you about to tell us that we're out of time?
Yeah, we are out of time.
I don't like when you do that. Darn, we're going to have you back, because I'm sure this is not going to be your first book.
No.
This is just, this is the stepping stone to, I can feel it. I can feel it in my bones that there's, you know, lots of books in you, I'm thinking, right, Mary?
Oh my gosh, thank you for saying that. And yes, I have a long list of books that I want to write, like some about entrepreneurial stuff. Like, I've got an idea for one called Mind Body Business. And good for you for saying that, making me feel good.
And it's true. But Mary, would you like to let our audience know where they can find you and find your book? And you were also going to offer our audience a gift. You want to tell them about that?
Yeah. So I would love for, I have a personal development challenge book. It's called Ignite Your Dreams. And I've given them the link if they want to put that in the show notes or on the guest page. But you can also just find it very easily at maryshores.com. There's a button that says Ignite Your Dreams. And also we have like a whole section of just free gifts on our website. And Ignite Your Dreams is a beautiful 26-page full-color workbook that I'm sure you will absolutely love. And when you do that, you'll be invited into our exclusive Facebook group, which is called Fearless Ambition. We would love to have you there. And the book launches on August the 22nd. It's available for pre-order now. And so anybody that sort of resonates with some of the things we talked about today, if you'd like to check out the book on Amazon.com, Conscious Communications is available for pre-sale right now. And certainly appreciate any book orders we get in the pre-sale period, because it helps Hay House decide how many books they want to put in actual bookstores.
They're going to be putting out lots.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is fantastic. And Mary, will and to our audience, we'll keep the, we'll provide the link to the free workbook on the archived page for Mary's show. But stay tuned and we'll be back with Mary and Solomon. The fact is that life as we experience it just isn't working for billions of people. We are a species driven by limiting beliefs that often take us in a direction away from our conscious desires, both individually and collectively. We are trapped in a prison of limiting beliefs about how to create joy and happiness in our lives. In order to alter our course and begin to align with our conscious desires, we need to shift our perceptions to a new level of consciousness. So how do we do this? Rob Williams has given us the gift of change through a process called Psyche. Psyche is a high-speed form of accelerating the evolution of human consciousness and is a safe and effective way to access and rewrite our self-limiting beliefs. My name is Stephen Banks and I'm a Psyche facilitator. To learn more about this process, visit my website at www.balancingbeliefs.com.
It is our pleasure to be here with you in this time, in your space, in this current reality that you are creating moment by moment by moment by moment. We would like to take a moment to say thank you for putting your faith and trust in us as we come to you to help guide you on your journeys. And as we do this, we would like you to know that you are helping to guide us on our journeys. This is a very synergistic relationship. We like to express our gratitude for you, for doing the work that you are doing in the world, for being the authentic beings that you are trying to be. We encourage you to work more towards the idea of living in a natural state of authenticity, of being the genuine individuals that you came here to be while living a collective experience with those around you. We would like to invite you at this time to put forth any questions and queries that you may have that may enable you to fully understand and grasp certain ideas and understandings that are most prominent in your focused attention at this time.
Well, thank you so much, Solomon. I just want to start by expressing my gratitude at the generosity of being able to have this conversation with you today. And my first question is, what are my particular gifts that I can bring into the world?
We find it slightly amusing, and we like to say this lightly, that many of you are already fully aware of your gifts, that you strive and seek for that confirmation. And we understand that receiving confirmation from the non-physical realm creates an abundance of trust and faith in oneself. So we would like to simply acknowledge what you already know to be true as your gifts, as your special features of being a human being that you are here to portray to the world around you. As you are well aware, your writing abilities are going to transform and transcend beyond what you are currently in a state of being aware of. You have a way with words. You have a way with communication, as you know. Yes, this is not news to you. If it were, you wouldn't be asking this question. We like to remind all of you that when you choose to put forth a question, the answer you already know is literally being reflected back to you from us, but simply coming from your higher self. Yes? Following?
Yes, I agree. And I love that you mentioned a gift and mentioned that I already know about it, but that also mentioned that it's an ability past what I know about right now, because what that makes me feel like is that what I'm doing now is only going to deepen and get better.
This is the idea of life. This is the idea of being in tune and in touch with the idea of being connected to all eternity, to the divine, to source creation, to God, whatever terminology you choose to use. The idea of being in a recognized state of being aware of that connection is what allows one to transcend beyond the idea of limiting beliefs of being a human being. Yes. Therefore, yes. Your understanding and your clear, defined understanding that what you are capable of, let's say, let's use the word loosely here, achieving in the world in this lifetime stretches far beyond what your logical mind could possibly ever indicate. Yes?
Yeah, therefore, wow, that's mind-blowing.
Your biggest gift, let's say, and again, this is a word that we don't necessarily choose to use, but it best represents to all of you the idea of what you're here to share with the world around you, with those around you. Your biggest gift we feel at this time, based on your energetic vibration that is emanating from your being, is the idea to share with those around you that there is no limit to what one can do. The only thing that is limiting you as an individual, though not just necessarily you, Mary Shores, but all individuals on the planet, is your own defined parameters that keep you bound and tied to the idea of who you are. Therefore, your driving force behind what you are doing, behind all of your endeavors, is to share with those around you that you too can open up the doors to all potentials, all possibilities, allowing yourself to roam free in the universe where there is an abundance of exploration to be had, where different imaginative ideas and creativities will begin to flow through you in such a way that you will then begin to manifest a new reality based upon your higher self's needs, wants, desires, in such a way that your intuitive powers will then begin to lead the way. Yes?
Oh, wow. Yes.
Does this not describe you to a T? This was direct communication from your higher self through us to you. You just described you to you. How is that for cool?
That is pretty cool and a great reminder. And so I would like to ask, recently I've been struggling that feeling like I made some mistakes in some choices. And so I'm wondering if you can help me to understand or help or give me a way out of like just letting go of that mistake and moving on.
By heeding your own advice, listen to the words you used. I feel as though I struggled. Is that advice that you would give to your readers? No. There is no struggle unless you define it as a struggle. There is only movement. How do you choose to define that movement, as a struggle or as ease? There may appear to be struggles and triumph and corners, let's say, that drive you into what seems to be a wedge where you don't necessarily see a clear path. But by defining your ideas in life as being struggles, as being graceful, as being flowing and ease and maneuvering with grace and with integrity, it's all in how you choose to define your life experience. Therefore, we encourage you to step back and redefine. Was it actually a struggle, or was it an opportunity that would catapult me beyond what appeared to be a struggle? Is it a rock in my way that I need to dig a trench to get through, or is it simply a mounded opportunity for me to find a way up on top so I can see the bigger picture? From there, you are then able to utilize your ingenuity. You are then able to utilize your integrity. You are then able to utilize all the tools and techniques that you have gathered along the way, that you're continuing to gather along the way, that helps catapult you to a different awareness, to a different understanding, becoming in tune and in touch with not just what appears to be easy, but what appears to be a struggle, so that you can then look back and think to yourself, was it actually a struggle? That wasn't so bad, yes?
Yeah. So how can I connect with what would be a good or the right proper audience for my mission and my book that's coming out?
You already are connecting to that audience. You already are. There is nothing more that you can do at this time than to continue to move forward in the direction that you are moving, knowing that every move you are taking is in alignment with your higher self and what you are choosing to, let's say, perform in this lifetime, in this experience. All the pieces are falling into place, yes?
Yes, that's wonderful news. Thank you so much. And this morning when I was working, getting a massage, and I was...
That with sounds like work.
Getting a massage?
Yes.
Oh, it was very easy and lovely. But one of the messages that came to me was to take my own advice and figure out what are my clogs. Can you, they're kind of hidden to me now, like maybe some subconscious fears. And my higher self let me know what are some fears or clogs in my life that I need to detach from.
What's interesting about being a human being, let's use you as an example, is here you are giving a book to the world, giving your advice to the world, allowing those around you to heed the things that you are receiving, that you are learning, that you are bringing into your awareness. Yet for many of you, it's easy to give that advice to others and it becomes more difficult to heed the advice yourself. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the reasons why you are putting forth these ideas of communicating in such a way that you're creating a conscious life, we would suggest for you to read your book again. Yes? One of the things that you seem to be adverse to from an energetic level, however, not necessarily from a logical mind level, is the idea of being in front of a large group of people, having the confidence and the recognition that what you have to offer is strength and empowerment in and of itself, allowing yourself to have complete full trust in yourself to be able to handle those situations with confidence, with clarity, with the intensity that you feel inside. Yes, you not feel the intensity inside that you are ready to burst, to show the world everything that you have already gathered and continue to accumulate. You want to share that with such a powerful intensity that it is bursting from you, yes?
Yeah, it feels like a rocket is about to go off. Sure.
Yes. So there is some inhibitions that are attached to that idea because you are so ready, yet are you ready to take off? Yes? We are here to tell you that you are ready to take off. There is no reason for you to be fearful on an energetic level of anything that is about to come forth into your awareness. In other words, should you find yourself on a stage in front of hundreds of people, you are ready for that.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for that validation. And so I would like to ask about my son Keegan, who has a diagnosis of Asperger's. So sometimes I get curious, like, did we sort of plan that for this lifetime?
Yes. And we would encourage you to move away from feeling as though you need to wrap him in the same package as everyone else in the world that has the same tendencies. In other words, a diagnosis is one thing. Confining to that diagnosis is another, to conform to that idea. In Keegan's case, he is his own unique individual expressing his humanitarian needs and his eternal needs much differently than someone else who is quote-unquote Asperger's, yes? His needs as a human experiencing life from an eternal point of view is to be recognized as his own unique character that is here to deliver his message in his own way that will relate to, most prominently to, others that share his likeness. In other words, from his vantage point, he has chosen to come into this life to express himself as this individual through his own unique characteristics. He is a very in-tune soul, yes? He
yes.
sees much more than the average his age, yes? He is
yes.
connecting He's to broken. A deeper source connection than even he understands. So he has a difficult time relaying that based on his own, let's say, we're going to use this word lightly, his own shortcomings in understanding his connection. This is where you as his mother comes into play. This is where you as his loving, caring, nurturing being will enable him to understand fully his connection and how he is going to choose to share that with the world around him. There can sometimes be this idea of feeling disconnected because there is such a tight connection, such a close connection, and understanding that connection and learning how to, let's say, manifest that into his current reality is where the trouble comes in. But he is moving towards that. He is becoming more in tune and more, let's say, as you say, in alignment with his creative source, how he chooses to create his life, to illustrate his life, to play out the role of Keegan in this lifetime. What he is going to do in this world is yet to be seen, but from an energetic standpoint, what we see is great things. He will be changing and transforming those around him without necessarily needing to preach about life. He will just be it. He is a shining example of it. Yes?
I love that.
Yes, so do we. So keep encouraging. Keep sharing, keep just being, encouraging him to just be without the fear and the notion of being judged by others. He has no need to fear those things. He is he. You are you. All of you are you. There is no need to fear the judgment of others, because once you fall into that trap, you will be constantly in a state of feeling self-conscious, of feeling as though I don't necessarily want to be myself for fear of being criticized. This is his biggest lesson right now, to just be okay with that. There will always be those, for the time being, that will feel the need to pass judgment. But we say, who cares? Does it really matter? What matters is the people that are being impacted by the positive, amazing, transformative outlets that he will share.
Yeah, and I see him doing that already, and I'm so proud of him, especially just even this summer. So thank you so much. It's you know, I think that a lot of mothers that have special needs children, it's a gift and a weight to bear at the same time, because it can be so overwhelming. And I know that I've been working on letting go of that overwhelm. So I don't know if you have anything to say about that.
The same advice that we give to him. The exact same advice. Even the word special needs has a slightly negative connotation to it. Do you not feel that?
Yes, like, I see it like it's disempowering.
Yes, it's saying that you are in your own little world where you require a little bit more extra attention. And although this is, let's say, technically a certain reality, but who doesn't have special needs?
Or different, maybe like different needs.
Just needs. We all have needs, yes? It doesn't matter if you're coming from the non-physical or the physical reality. There are needs involved on some level. But by defining it as special needs, it is the connotation and the energetic vibration that is associated with that is the idea that that individual cannot possibly reach the same potential as somebody without the special needs. And we know and we understand that this isn't how you are thinking, but this is attached to the idea that you are speaking of in your book, conscious communication, becoming more aware of the subtleties in the language and the parameters and the boundaries that the language is creating. So we would suggest thinking twice about the dialogue that is being associated with the needs of your son. They are simply needs. They are just different. But so are the needs of somebody else's children and somebody else's grandparents and somebody else's cousins and somebody else's friends.
They're yeah, just I love that explanation. That's probably one of the best explanations that, or not even explanation, but just, that's just such a wonderful way to talk about it. And I appreciate that because it's going to help me reframe some things as I sort of unpack that over the next week thinking about it. And I did want to ask, and it might have to be my last question because we've been on for a while, but I'll be speaking at a Hay House Writers Workshop, and I'm wondering if you can give me some direction about what message the audience would most want to hear from me.
Perhaps the one that we just spoke about now. Redefining your language in such a way, and this is the path that you are taking. This is your course of action. We were simply, again, laying it out for you, before you, but this message is coming from you to define how people around you and those that you are speaking with are interpreting their world. How much judgment is being placed on every situation and every experience, every circumstance in life. And when one becomes aware of their thought processes and their vocabulary and understanding that there is an energetic vibration attached to that vocabulary, attached to that thought, the judgment involved, the criticism involved, the fears and doubts involved are literally what is either catapulting you forward or seemingly to hold you back. So in our experience and in our opinion, if we may give one, is to heed the advice of the non-physical, of your higher self, of your innate self that has no judgment, as much as humanly possible as a human being on earth. And we understand that as a human being, there will always be a certain degree of judgment. But the least judgment that you can pass on any situation, whether it's eating an apple or whether it's deciding to go to the beach for this reason, for that reason, or for any other reason, the least judgment in that is involved is what will allow more doors to open, keeping the possibilities and the potential alive so that there are no limiting factors. Your greatest gift at this point in your life, in your career as Mary Shores, is to allow people the freedom to think about how they're thinking, to think about how they're communicating, to think about how their communication is affecting the outcome in their daily life.
Yeah, I can do that. Thank you. That's a wonderful direction.
We know you can do that. Yes. We would like to thank you for taking the time to dive into what you are doing, to dive into the idea of allowing yourself to expand and expand and expand in such a way that those around you will also expand. We would like to thank you for this opportunity to communicate, to converse, to share with you what we know that you already know.
Thank you, Solomon.
Thank you so much.
Well, that was, from my perspective, that was really supportive. You know, like, so Steph, did you feel...
I'm sweating.
It's almost, Mary, I don't know if you were feeling this. Like, I'm sitting with Stephanie right now, and when Solomon's in the room, I always feel an intense amount of energy. But they were having a lot of fun. It was almost like they were on the playground with you, just like whooping around you, you know, like they really know that you're about to make a huge difference, a huge impact in the collective consciousness is what I felt.
What I really loved and I thought would be great for the listeners is when the very first question I asked about my gifts, they did tell me some gifts, which was nice, but they also said, you know, they were kind of teasing me about asking the question because it's like, well, you know what your gifts are, but like as a human, you don't always like have the ability to acknowledge them, and that it's such a good confirmation. And I think about that all the time. Like sometimes it's more meaningful for someone else to tell me something about myself than for me to believe it myself, because like even collectively our cultures sort of encourage you to be humble.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think it goes beyond humble.
Right. But humble doesn't mean to like mask your gifts.
No.
But.
Sorry, go ahead.
And well, and I do talk about in the book, like once you figure out like how to bring your gifts, whatever they may be, to your work, it doesn't really matter what your work is, because if you bring your gifts to your work, then your work can easily become your purpose.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it doesn't become, and it doesn't even seem like work. Like I'm sure for you, what you're doing now doesn't even seem like work. And that, and I hear Solomon still saying, watch the words, because when you, because we have this connotation of work, and work involves like, you know, sweat and tears and pain, no pain, no gain, all of that, what I call bullshit. It, you know, when you're on, when you're doing something like you're doing that you're obviously so passionate about, it must not even feel like work to you.
Yeah, you know, there's a there's some things that do, you know, because you have to deal with sort of the practical terminology of numbers and marketing and, you know, teams and other companies that you're working with. But the message part of it, that's the fun part. For example, just some of the things that happened like before the show was like some technology issues, right? So like sometimes figuring out the tech feels more like the work part because it's sort of a struggle mm-hmm. or a hustle to understand those things that we don't understand. But the message part, like the talking part, the empowering part, yeah, those are like juice me to no end.
Yeah. Well, be prepared because it sounds like you're going to be on stage with a few hundred people.
Yeah, that's coming up right around the corner. And I really appreciated Solomon what was taught, because I know that a lot of the listeners have children with diagnoses. So I really appreciated that conversation, not only for myself, but for any other listeners. Right. And was really on point with my son because he does have a lot of leadership skills and he's absolutely brilliant. And
I thought that was really cool too, because it kind of, you know, in a matter of really seconds, how they said that, you know, and I'm curious to go back and listen to it a few times really allow it to sink in. But you know, you just said he's got these leadership abilities, but if we continue to use the word special needs, it's almost as though they're always going to rely on somebody else. So it's taking away their ability to be a leader. If we as a society make people feel as though they need to rely on others, and by, you know, the word special needs, that's how I interpret that, is there's always a reliance on somebody else. Whereas what Solomon and those guys are saying is, no, take that away, because just those words constantly being associated with your son and with others will, I think, disempower their ability to see themselves as leaders.
And well, especially because they hear these words ever since, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old. They're hearing these words everywhere, like in their schools, from their parents, from their doctors. You know, they're just hearing it everywhere. And I think that, like, you know, some people talk about this sort of shift that we're going through in consciousness right now. Like, we're in this period of shift. And one of the things that that's been on my mind recently is a lot of the younger generation, and I mean, like, younger than the millennials, are dealing with issues of transgenderism. So, you know, a male identifying as a female or female identifying as a male. And I feel like that's also part of the shift and something that we'll have to be really careful, the language that we put around that, because as humans are evolving and shifting, we see these different things, but we might have an aversion to them. So we pick words that could disempower that group of people.
Right. And it puts them in a box so that it defines what they're going to, what their choices are, yeah. Which is, you know, this is such an amazing conversation on, you know, conscious communication, really, and everything from what Solomon was saying about your son Keegan and how the society looks at Keegan in terms of special needs and all these definitions and judgments. And really, when we think back earlier to the conversation, in our conversation about conscious communication, is we're doing the same thing to ourselves. We're judging ourselves. We're putting boxes on ourselves. And this is exactly why I wanted to say earlier is that, you know, it's difficult for us to see what our gifts are because we're so hard on ourselves.
Well, our language needs to change. It's not evolving. It's not evolving with the conscious evolution that we're going through as human beings, I don't think. And even the word channeler, you know, that to me, I just can't stand that word because I think of like a really cheesy B-rated movie with somebody with like, we can all picture it, right? So associating myself as a channeler, I have issues with that, but there is really no other words at this time. So, you know, kudos to you because I see you being a forerunner in changing that terminology. And it's, you know, let's start with Keegans, the Keegans of the world. It's interesting. We have a friend whose son is Keegan and he as well has Asperger's, but she has never, ever used that word to define him or special needs or anything like that. And that kid is brilliant and he is just his own unique character, just as our son is.
Absolutely. But this is an amazing conversation, but we're out of time for today, guys.
You and your... you're always doing that.
Every hour. Every 25 minutes. Mary, thank you so much for being here with us today. This has been such an incredible conversation about communication and really is the starting point for transformation, personal empowerment. And I really appreciate you coming on today and speaking to us about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. It was such an enlightening event. So thank you so much for having me on today. I appreciate it.
It was our pleasure. Thanks, Mary.
Thank you.
And thanks again for everyone out there. Thank you for being here with us tonight. Tune in again in 2 weeks as we'll have with us another amazing guest. For those of you who would like to learn more about Stephanie or Solomon, or to book a private or group Solomon session, visit our website at www.stephanie-banks.com. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel at solomonlive.com. Thanks again, everyone, and have an amazing week.